Well, I wonder if you heard about the man who had six children. He was so proud of this and of the way it demonstrated his virility that he started to call his wife Mother of Six, despite her objections. And one night they went to a party, and he'd been calling her Mother of Six for a while, and as usual he was bragging to all his friends about how he'd had six children, and his wife was getting more and more fed up with him. When it was time to leave, he called out loudly across the room, "Shall we go home now, Mother of Six?" Well, with that, I'm afraid to say she snapped. And she called back equally loudly, "Anytime you're ready, Father of Four." Proverbs 16, verse 18, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." Although I hope none of you have fallen quite that way. These words from James today are the passage today. I've entitled it, "Your Heart Humble or Divided." And if you'd like to have your Bibles open at James chapter 4, we're the first 10 verses of that chapter. And I'd like to read just the first few words from chapter 4, verse 1. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" Now, it's a sad fact that Christians argue, don't we? Yes. We don't always get on. That's because we're people, and people don't always get on. And we're not just people, we're quite a large number of people. I mean, I don't know how many people are in your family. There are four in mine growing up, and we used to fight regularly. So can you imagine what it's like if we have 50 people in a family? We are going to fall out and argue. It's a sad fact. Why, though? Is it because we're religious? Well, actually, no. Over in history, religion has often been used as an excuse for arguments and fights and quarrels. But actually, we quarrel, James says, because of our desires that battle within us. In other words, we don't quarrel because we're religious. We quarrel because we're not religious enough. We're not Christian enough. We haven't used the risen power of Christ to put to death our quarreling desires enough. We need to be more religious, not less. Religious in the James sense. Living a holy life. A life of purity and of single-minded, single-hearted devotion to Jesus. We quarrel and fight. And we put to death those things by the power of God. We often pray, and I spoke a couple of weeks ago about how the Holy Spirit is already within Christians. We need to make use of that power. Ask God to help us, to enable us to overcome our sinful and evil desires. James goes on in verse 2, "You do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives." Now, this is a challenging verse. I'm going to admit that. It opens up the can of worms of why sometimes when we pray, we don't get what we ask for. Even when we ask for things, surely that's a good thing. If we're praying for someone to be healed or for someone to come to faith, why haven't they come? Surely we're asking from good motives, so why isn't God doing that? Now, it's a healing service today. This isn't a 40-minute sermon, so I'm not going to answer that question. Partly because I can't. But if you would like to discuss that with me, do please ask. I'd love to come and talk to you about prayer and what it is and about that issue. Because I know that some of you, I hope for all of you, that's a challenge. It's a challenge for me when we pray for good things and don't receive them. Now's not the time to go into that. But instead, I'd like to ask you a question. When you pray, what do you do first? What do you do first? Do you start talking? Or do you start listening? What do you do when you start to pray? If you're anything like me, probably the first thing you do is you start talking. "Dear Lord, blah, 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 blah." You start talking. But friends, how will we know what God wants us to pray for if we don't listen first and then pray? this morning at the 8:45 service. It's still morning. Earlier this morning at the 8:45 service. Instead, in the Book of Common Prayer, if you know it, the communion service has this great long intercessory prayer that sort of covers, well, it tries to cover all the bases. You pray for everything. And it takes quite a long time, doesn't it, Carol? It takes quite a long time for me to read it. Instead, this morning, I thought to myself, we will just sit in silence for 2 minutes. And I know I've said this from the front before. Can I please encourage you to find even 2 minutes in your day to sit in silence and listen before you pray? You probably won't hear an audible voice from God. You may. Some people have in history. I never have. But what you will start to do is to hear the still small voice, the way that God speaks to you through words of scripture, through thoughts that you might have, through feelings. You start to identify which of them come from God and which of them come from yourself. And you will only do that in silence. Maybe some of our prayers are not being answered because they're not the things God wants us to pray for. Let us learn to listen first. Next in James, verse 4. Now James says, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? One of the hardest choices we have to make as Christians in the world is choosing between God's way and the world's way. And the Bible makes it very clear there's no middle ground. You choose one or the other. The gospel reading that I put in for today that we had at the communion service and we'll have again later, is Jesus saying you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. You will hate one and love the other. You cannot serve both. We cannot be friends with the world and friends with God. And what that means is we cannot live as Christians. We can't live in the world's way as well as God's way because they are completely different. Not completely different, I suppose. There's some good things in the world and there are some bad things in Christians. But we should, as Christians, stand out. God calls Christians to live holy lives of forgiveness and love and generosity. We are called to be different as Christians. The Bible describes, in James describes God as jealous there. He jealously longs for the Spirit he's caused to dwell in us. God's jealousy isn't like our jealousy. It's not sort of petty-minded and selfish and self-centered. He's jealous because he loves you. And he can't stand it when you turn away from him and turn towards the world. He can't stand it. Because he wants you to draw near to him so he can draw near to you. That's what he wants. That's what God's jealousy means. It's not sort of like a petulant teenager or a jealous lover. He wants to be with you. Finally, I'm just picking out four things here that we will then look at in our prayer time. The last section there in the James reading from verse 7 to 10. There's some wonderful truths in there and some difficult truths. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God. He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's almost like he's flitting all over the place. Submit yourselves to God and resist the devil. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. What's he going on about? Well, the thing is, friends, as we draw near to God, the closer we come to God, the more we realise our own sinfulness. I don't know if you know that passage from Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah has his call to be a prophet. And he sees this vision of God and his temple and the train of God's robe fills the temple. And what does Isaiah say? He says, woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips. When he came into the presence of God, he was in awe of God and aware of his own sin. The closer we are to God, the more we become aware of our own sinfulness. No matter how good we are, we will never be as good as God. Ever. That is the truth. So what James is saying here, as you come near to God, you will discover you need to wash your hands. Now that is an amazing truth. If you know anything about the Old Testament, you will know there are pages and pages of the sacrificial system, where they had to sacrifice animals and they had to worship at certain times of the year and eat certain foods, all of which to deal with sin, to get rid of sin, to live with God. And it was so complicated. I think there are 613 laws in the Old Testament. It was so complicated. Before the high priests offered the sacrifice for the sins of everyone else, they had to sacrifice something for themselves so that they would be worthy to then go in and sacrifice. It was very complicated. And now, what does James compare it to? Wash your hands. It is as easy as that. Wash your hands and be purified from sin. Why? Because Jesus did the hard bit for us. In our place, so we don't have to. We come to him, we come before God, like Isaiah, as people of unclean lips, filthy with our sin and our brokenness and our pain and our struggles. Compared to God, we are so dirty and broken and damaged. But he loves us still and wants to bring us healing and wholeness. And so when we come to God and we say sorry, it's like washing our hands before a meal. That is all we have to do because of what Jesus has done for us. I'm not sure I said anything in my notes. Those four things, perhaps, maybe one of them has resonated a bit with you. James started out by talking about quarrels that come from the desires within us. Maybe you need to pray to God about an argument you're having with someone, a friend or a loved one or a member of your church family. You need to ask God where that's coming from and offer it to him for healing. Maybe you need to ask God to help you listen to him before you pray. Maybe you can come forward and ask and pray with some of our healing team to ask them to pray for you, that you might be able to spend that time in quiet listening. Maybe you're struggling with being tempted with worldly things, tempted away from God, spending your time not on things of God but on things of the world. Maybe you need to come and be prayed for, for strength to resist. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Maybe you feel deeply aware of your sin this morning and your brokenness. Come and receive prayer. Pray that God would help you wash your hands because Jesus has done the rest. If any of those things have sort of resonated in your heart or feel like that's where you are today, this morning in your life, then do please make use of the healing team here at the front. There'll be two groups. You just need to come up when there's no one sitting on the chair. Just come up and sit there and they will do the rest. And if you've come with anything that I haven't mentioned, bring that as well. God wants to hear all of it. So we're going to sing a song now just to lead us into that time of prayer. And then Carol's going to explain a couple of things that we've got here at the front. And then we